We've been talking about all this week about the obedience of faith. And then last night we got into that this is actually the highest kind of faith. I mentioned that earlier in our ministry that we'd been teaching on faith and healing and those things for a number of years. And then the Lord dealt with me about submission and authority. And I thought that was a different subject for years. And the Lord helped me to see, no, that's faith. That's still your focus, your call. That is faith. It takes faith to obey. It takes faith to submit. So I'm going to talk tonight about perfect obedience. Hallelujah. We saw earlier in the week that partial was not okay. Right? Not acceptable. But there is an example of perfect obedience. Hallelujah. Can anybody guess who that? Huh? The perfect example of faith is also the perfect example of obedience, is also the perfect example of submission. They are intertwined. They are the same. You know, Paul talked about, he said, forgetting those things that are behind. And we need to do that. Quit trying to live in yesterday. Quit talking about the good old days. Huh? The best is yet to come. It's in front of us. But you'll see people compare themselves with other people. And the scripture told us don't do that. Don't comparing yourselves among yourselves. You're not wise. And you'll see people say, well, I want to be just like so-and-so. Even if they're wonderful people, even if they're godly people, no, you don't. Lift your gaze higher. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. What is the high mark? What it's being just like Jesus. Don't settle for anything else. If there's somebody you respect, your pastors, your ministers, godly man or woman, whoever, if you want to be like them, it's because to some degree they're like him. But they're still growing and developing too. So you follow them and try to pattern them too tightly, you'll wind up reproducing their faults.
Right.
And nobody has arrived. Isn't that what Paul was saying right there? Forgetting those things that are behind. But I'm not quitting. I'm going on. But you want to set up Jesus as your example in everything. You want to think like Jesus, talk like Jesus, pray like Jesus, preach like Jesus. I'm actively believing for that. Personally, I keep saying, Lord, show me how you did it. Show me exactly how you did it. I want to do it just like you. And that's what he called us to do. He said, he that says he abides in me ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked. So that's exactly what he told us to do. And here's the thing. Don't get discouraged. We've only been going this long. From his perspective, you know, you ain't been going half a day yet. To him, 1,000 years is like a day. And so don't be discouraged. He will get you there. If you won't quit, if you just stay with it, he'll get you there. And actually, our development continues past this life. We really take off past this life because we got nothing holding us back. Go to Hebrews, please, the 5th chapter. Let's look at the perfect example of perfect faith and perfect obedience. It's not what some have focused on. It's different. The enemy's always trying to get you sidetracked off the word. And he's too effective at it many times. But that's one of the things I am so thankful to Brother Hagin and Miss Aretha. That was one of the biggest revelations in the early part of our walking with the Lord, is the place Brother Hagin gave the word. We grew up around church. We had Bibles around, but we didn't give the word the place that he talked about. That it was first place in everything and final authority about everything. Most people do not live this way. You tell them the word, and like that, they're like, okay, that's interesting, you know. I'll think about it. No, that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about when you see it in the word, it doesn't matter if it upends three generations of how your family thought. We're changing it today, and we are going to do what the word says. Hallelujah. And we saw that in Brother Kenneth Copeland and Miss Gloria Copeland. We've seen them do it. I mean, it didn't matter what. It didn't matter what had to change if the word said it. That's it. That's how we're living. That's how we're functioning. And that will totally change you and your life and everything around you. There's no better life. Well, in Hebrews, the 5th chapter, is talking about the Master. And we'll begin reading in verse 4. It says, no man takes this honor to himself. And this is the honor of the place of high priest. But he that is called of God, as was Aaron. So also Christ glory. You can't take somebody's anointing or place, no matter how much you might think you want it. It's either yours from the Lord or it's not. Now you'll have to be faithful and obedient, but you hear people talk about like there's a competition for somebody's anointing. Who's going to get their anointing when they go? It ain't a competition. And if it's not yours from the Lord, you cannot take it. No matter how much you try to believe. And you don't want it anyway. You want what the Lord has for you. Huh? And don't be in a hurry to hang a label on yourself. It actually takes a while to see what kind of ministry you are. Brother Hagin used to say, you can put any kind of a label on a can, but it doesn't put anything in the can. Right? Would you rather have a beautiful four-color label and ding, ding, nothing in the can? Or a can with no label, but something good in the can? Huh? Now you see people do this. They get on this bent about, I'm an apostle, I'm an apostle, I'm an apostle. You better respect me as an apostle. Well, that's not how it works. I'm a prophet, I'm a prophet. Prophesying does not make you a prophet. No. Any believer can and should prophesy. Didn't he say, you may all prophesy one by one? That's what the scripture says. Prophesying does not make you a prophet or a prophetess. In the early days of an amazing fruit tree, let's say it's a pear tree. But in the early days, it looks a lot like a bush. Little scrub bush. And you can yell and you can wear yourself out going, I'm a pear tree. I'm a pear tree. Pear tree. Look at me. I'm a pear tree. And people can say, oh, shut up, you little scrub bush. All you got to do is wait until, come on, y'all with me. Wait until the development and the season, and you got great, big, luscious pears there. You don't have to put up a sign. You don't have to advertise. You know, everybody knows it's a pear tree. Amen. Why? There's pears. Amen. That's true with every ministry office in place. Amen. If it's a prophet's call anointing, there will be the fruit of the prophet's ministry. Or the apostle, or the pastor, or and don't some of the things it takes a while. You just obey God, right? You pray, you believe, you teach, you preach, you go, you love people. Amen. Oh, come on, y'all with me or not? You love people, do everything you can to help people, and the fruit will come out of that. And over a period of time, you'll begin to see a pattern. And especially elders that know more about it, they'll recognize it quicker sometimes than you will. But it's not about labels. Where'd that come from? You don't take the honor to yourself. We read in verse 4. Verse 5, so Christ glorified not himself to be made high priest. Jesus did not make himself high priest. The Father did. He said to him, you are my son, today I have begotten you. As he said also in another place, you are a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek, who received tithes from Abraham and blessed him. Who's a type of who? Jesus, the high priest. Does the high priest still receive tithes? Yes. Does he still bless? That's what Hebrews, you look at the 7th chapter, he goes in talking about it. Do we have a high priest?
Yes.
Does he still receive honor?
Yes.
And the tithe, does he still bless?
Yes.
He never changes. Now notice this, verse 7, in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears. Who are we talking about? Jesus, the Master. When he's on the earth, in the days of his flesh, prayers, supplications, pleadings, strong crying, tears unto him that was able to save him from death. Now this was not just physical death. And as bad as the scourging was, and as bad as the cross was, it wasn't just that. The worst part of what happened in the crucifixion and the scourging, you could not see. It happened spiritually. And Isaiah saw it. If you read in Isaiah, you know, chapter 53 and these other places, he saw it. And he said his visage was more marred than any man. His form and visage was so distorted, it didn't look like a man. Well, that didn't happen physically on the cross. What happened? His spotless, sinless being received all the sin of all mankind, past, present, and future. We have no idea the horror of that. I mean, just think about some of the evil you have seen some people do. Just in our generation. All human beings, all generations, all past, all present, all future, he received it. That's why the Bible said, you know, when the Lord told Moses, raise up a serpent on a pole, and whoever would look would live. And then John 3 tells you that snake on a pole is a type of Jesus on the cross. How is a snake a type of Jesus? Because when he hung there, he became sin. He didn't just empathize with it. He became sin with our sin, and the judgment of God fell on him, and his sinless, spotless being, we don't know how bad it was. That's what he is sweating blood about when he's praying. Yeah, being nailed to the cross was bad, but that wasn't it. Yeah, being scourged, but no, it was what? When he was tied to the whipping post and scourged. Every time the whip hit him, the judgment of God hit him. And the punishment that would have resulted in the judging and sickness and distortion and the chastisement of the peace when they jammed that crown of thorns down into his scalp and the blood ran. That was bad, but the worst part you couldn't see. Everybody that was ever tormented with some kind of mental problem and some kind of insanity and some kind of crazy, that was shoved on him.
Yes.
And he took it. I said he took it. Let me say something else. He submitted. He obeyed. And what kind of faith did it take to do that? To let them do that to him and to let that come on him. All of it. Hebrews 12 tells us. For the joy. Hallelujah. That he could see. He endured the cross. Suffering the shame. What is that? That's faith. In the middle of that, by faith, he is seeing the resurrection. He's seeing the deliverance. And he's seeing your face and my face. Come on, y'all with me. Us being saved and delivered and healed and helped. He's not just doing it to be doing it. He can see the end by faith. But he had to trust the Father. He had to trust the Father.
Yes.
Somebody say, thank you, Master. Thank you, Lord. Because it was your sin, it was my sin that put him to the cross. And he bore it. He paid it. Keep reading. In the days of his flesh, he offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears to him that was able to save him from death. Not just the physical pain, spiritual death and the full judgment for all sin. And he was heard in that he feared, he reverenced the Father. And though he were a son, help me out with the rest of this verse. He did what? Learned. He, obedience by what? By the things he suffered. Now, we talked last night a little bit about submission. One of the reasons why people are so opposed to submission, they don't know what it is. Including church people. They just don't know what it is. We got into last night, submission is not, I'm talking about the submission of the Lord, the scripture talks about, it is not something anyone does to you. Submission has nothing to do with somebody making you do something. Every time he talks about New Testament, you submit yourself, submit yourself, submit yourself, you submit yourself, you submit. Who's going to do it? You. If you don't do it, it won't be done. So this is not anybody forcing you or making you. God does not do that. And godly people won't do it either. But the second thing here I want to talk about tonight. Submission is not agreement.
Come on. Come on.
It's not agreement. If you're doing what you wanted to do already, it's not submission. I've heard people say, well, now I usually submit. But on this, I just don't agree. Well, you have not been submitting, and this is the first time you've had an opportunity to do it, and you're failing totally. Submission is not agreement, and because of that, submission is not easy. I've heard people say, well, submission's always been easy for me. You don't know what it is. Submission's not easy for anybody. What we're reading about right here is submission. Perfect submission. Does it sound easy? Let me read it. Strong crying. Tears. Prayers. Supplications. This takes us right to Gethsemane. Doesn't it? And what's the prayer he's praying? Abba, Father. You remember what was going on? He knows he's right there to it. He knows he's hours away from it. And he had the guys, come on, let's go pray. And he even turned and looked at him. He said, pray with me. He felt the weight of it on him. And he stumbled a little bit further and fell. And he's praying. And he said, Abba, Father. He's calling on his relationship.
Yeah.
Daddy, Father, anything's possible with you. All things are possible with you. And if it's possible,
right. Come on now.
Let this cup pass from me. What cup? Being made sin. Being separated. You remember what he cried out on the cross? My God. My God, why have you forsaken me? He's, even though he is the Son of God and he's God manifested in the flesh, he has laid aside his power and glory, and he's functioning like a human being. And as such, he's having to take it by faith. And it feels like you're separated forever. And that's when he cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? And that's when the Father had to turn his back on sin and judge it. And it had to be full judgment. And what's the Lord praying before that? Anything's possible with you, Father. But what? Come on, help me out. Help me out. Huh? Luke 22:42. Put it on the screen, please. Luke 22:42. Father, if you be willing, remove this cup from me. What? Nevertheless, not my will, but your. And Matthew says it like that, or Mark rather, not what I will, but what you will. This is submission. This is submission. When you don't want to do something. When your will is not the Father's will. Now see, some people have a problem with this, but was Jesus wanting to do what the Father wanted him to do right then? See, people don't even want to answer that question, do they? No. Because he sees in the Spirit. He understands the prophecies of Scripture. He understands what Isaiah saw, what's about to happen to him. And to let his sinless, spotless being be made sin and judged and die, the Son of God die, the devil and his cohort, they didn't believe it could happen. They didn't think it could even happen. They knew who he was. And that's why when he did die on the cross, they were elated. They were off the charts. They're like, we actually did it. We did it. Death and God don't mix. You see what I'm saying? He had Remember what he said? I received this commandment of my Father. Nobody takes my life from me. I'm laying it down. And I'll have the authority and power to take it back up. Because the Father told me. This is faith, brother. I said, this is faith. Oh, this is faith. Somebody say glory to God. Woo-hoo. He said, though he was a son, he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. And verse 9, being made perfect, there is a development and a perfection that only happens when you suffer. Somebody says, oh dear Lord, I thought we were at this Word of Faith meeting. And that's why some people preach that. But the problem is, the suffering is not suffering from the curse of the law that we have been redeemed from. It's not suffering for our own mistakes and our own sins and failures that Jesus paid for. You know what it is? Suffering, not getting your way. Suffering, it can be painful. Well, not can be. It's painful. There'll be, if you follow the Lord all the way, there'll be more than one time you'll cry out and go, God, I don't want to do this. I don't. Please. Please. Or you'll put in a request for a transfer. I want out of here. Send me somewhere else, and it'll come back denied. And now we're going to find out if Jesus is your Lord or not. Because a lot of people, they got denied, and they packed up and left anyway. And they've been AWOL, out of the will of God, for 30 years. Because when it got hot in the kitchen, they got out the kitchen. Aren't you thankful for Jesus? When the pressure was on beyond. I mean, think about this. I mean, that's what Hebrews 12 says. You and I have never been to the point that blood came out of our pores resisting temptation. And the temptation was, don't go through with this. The pressure he was under, we can only imagine. Tell me what was his place he came back to. Come on, help me out. Not my will. Jesus is my hero. How about you? Not my will, but your will. Tell me what it takes to have that kind of submission and that kind of commitment to obey. Faith. It takes total trust. Even though you couldn't see how it's going to happen, even though this has never happened before. Even the demons, they don't know what's going on. The angels are scratching their head. Could be with me. But Jesus trusts the Father. And if the Father told him, he's coming out of this, he's coming out of this. Oh, come on here with me. And so he laid himself down. He let him do it. He went through the whole thing. And when he was hanging on the cross, and he got to the point where he's dying, tell me what he said. Come on, tell me what he said. Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. Is this submission? It's total submission. Is this faith? He said, Father, I'm putting myself in your hands. Why? Because the moment his spirit slipped out of his body, he went down. down, 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 down. Didn't the scripture talk about him going down and being raised up? Oh, people have fits about this. But Bible is Bible. Philippians is Philippians. Huh? And man, the demons, the devil, they thought. Let's remember the scripture says, if they had known, they would never have crucified the Lord of glory. Go to Philippians 2. Philippians 2 and 1. Is submission a beautiful thing? Is it a glorious thing? Does it take amazing strength and total trust? But here's the thing. For those who will, what comes after is out of this world. Here he says, if there be any consolation in Christ, comfort of love, fellowship in the Spirit, bowels and mercies, fulfill my joy that you be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, being of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vain glory. Proverbs talks about only by pride comes contention. The reason there's so many fights with husbands and wives, pride, fear. The reason there's so many fights between churches and people in church and ministries and every other kind of thing. People think, well, if I don't straighten this out, who knows what will wind up. Faith just relaxes and smiles. And trust God instead of fighting. That's another message, isn't it? He said, look not every man, excuse me, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind each esteem other better than themselves. Look not on every man on his own things, but every man on the things of others. And let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And the very thing we've been talking about is where this was going on. He was in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. How easy it could have been for him to say, I will not allow myself to be subjected to this. Huh? I am holiness. I am purity. He certainly didn't deserve any judgment. He's never committed any sin. Though he was in the form of God, he didn't think it robbery for him to become a human being and do what needed to be done. He did it totally out of love for us. Yes. You talk about coming down and visiting the lowly. You come from the throne room of God. You come from glory, huh? And as a baby, breathe some of your first breaths, and it's cow manure in a stall. You live. How must earth be compared to heaven in glory? Stinky, don't begin to describe it. Is that right? And throughout the course, they hated him. They spit on him. Ultimately killed him. Crucified him like the worst criminal on the planet. Keep reading. He made himself of no reputation. Took on him the form of a servant. And was made in the likeness of men. If you had met Jesus on the streets, on the road, when he was alive, you wouldn't have stopped and went, oh, my Lord. Yeah. It's some, You could have walked right by. Isaiah talks about this. There was no form or comeliness that we should desire him. Talking about humbling yourself. Being found in fashion as a man, that's what it said, he humbled himself and helped me out. Became obedient unto death. And not just dying. There's lots of easier ways to die. Right? The death of the cross. Which was an exaggerated, protracted, humiliating death. Hung out in front of everybody. Like the worst criminals. Verse 9. Wherefore? Here's what comes after. Submission and obedience to God. He that exalts himself will be abased. But he that humbles himself will be exalted. That's what he said, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God that he may exalt you in due time. It follows exactly what Jesus did. It's God's way. God's way with him, God's way with all of us. Hold your place here and put up Hebrews 5:8 again. Though he were a son, he learned obedience by the things that he suffered.
Yes, sir.
Brother Hagin, Sr., who's in heaven now, he has a book called Must Christians Suffer? If you hadn't read it, get it. Go to Kenneth Hagin Ministries and get it. And in it, he talks about, he makes a statement. He says, do you want to know why I'm settled today? And Phyllis and I can testify, and several people here can testify, he was not, and still he's in heaven today, but on the earth, any time I was around him, and some of that was for 20 years, I never saw him pitch a fit. I never heard him cuss. Never saw him, I mean, every day. Same. Same in the car as on the platform. He said, settled. Now see, when you're up, you're down, you're in, you're out, that's unstable. Unsettled. Wavering. Yeah, you're on it, now you're not. Jesus Christ, the same. Huh? Yesterday, today. If you're like him, you're the same. You're stable. And he said, you want to know why I'm settled? He said, it's because I've suffered. Some of you didn't expect that. Suffered? Yeah. But then he does not say anything about being sick or broke. Come on, y'all listening? Or any of that? He goes on to talk about places he was in that were hard. And he wanted to leave. He wanted to change. He wanted to quit. But the Lord said no. And he stuck it out. He said there was a church that came to pastor. He said there had been so much strife and so much division. Part of the group sat over on this side. Part of the other sat on the other side with this big gap in the middle and just glared at each other. He said he would pray. He would study through the week. He would get up to preach. And he said it was so dead and flat. He said he'd try to preach. And he said it was like a rubber ball. You'd throw it out. It would hit the back wall and come splat you in the face. He said it just hard, hard, hard. Just because it's hard doesn't mean it's not God's will. He said sometime Sunday night, after the Sunday night service, they're exhausted from all this. Him and Miss Aretha's laying in the bed. He said he'd tell her. He said, if I didn't know God told us to be here, I'd go rent a U-Haul. I'd back it up to the parsonage. And we'd be gone in the morning. And people would go, where did Brother Hagin go? This is what the Bible is talking about when he's talking about being a partaker of Christ's sufferings.
Right.
Nobody can go to the cross again.
That's, right.
That's done.
That's right.
And yet, in order to fulfill the will of God and accomplish the work in the earth, it's going to take somebody that's committed. And somebody that's willing to stick it out in the uncomfortable places. And they that will live godly in Christ Jesus, they shall suffer some persecution. That's not the curse. That's not being sick. That's not being broke. That's people talking about you. That's people attacking you. Hmm? And you got to be able to handle that. You got to be able to stick it up and stick it out. And he said, that's why I'm stable today. Because he didn't break and run. He didn't go get the U-Haul. He stayed. Listen, friend. Many people are led into something by the Lord. But then they're led out by an offense. They become offended. Other people become offended. They get mad. They get hurt. They get upset. They're like, I don't have to take this. I don't have to put up with this. And so they don't. They quit. There's been more than one time. Phyllis and I have been in situations. And I put in requests. Lord, I want to transfer. And it came back. Denied. So what am I going to do? He won't make me. I said, he won't make me. Oh, but looking back now, there's some things I wouldn't go through again for large sums of money. I would. Phyllis, I'm a, huh? Uh-uh. Nope. Don't you try to figure out what that might be. It's none of your business. But this is not just us. This is true with everybody. I'm telling you, if you go with the Lord all the way, you will find yourself in places where you want out.
Yes.
You don't. You're like, no, I don't want to keep. No, I don't want to keep. No, God. But your development is dependent on this. If you don't stick it out, if you don't believe God, if you don't stay put and finish your tour. And do your job and do your duty, you will not develop spiritually.
Yeah.
And you can be 10 years, 30 years down the road, and you're still childish in your development. That's why 1 Peter said, after you've suffered a while, you know, there's scripture prayers, and that's one of them. And back years ago, I started praying the scripture prayers for myself. And in 1 Peter, it talks about that. Lord, after we've suffered a while, the Lord make you perfect, strengthen, establish, settle you. And I'd get to that part, and I'd like, I want to skip that part. I mean, after you've suffered a while. But it's Bible. I mean, we call ourselves word people. Huh? Word is word. But when you understand, he's not talking about being sick. He's not talking about being mentally, you know, depressed. And he's not talking about any of that. He's talking about exactly what Jesus prayed. Father, if there's any way. Nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. And Jesus did it. And he went through the whole thing. He went through the mocking, the scourging, spitting, slapping, the crown of thorns, the scourging, the crucifixion. And as bad as that wasn't the worst part even by far, close. And then into the heart of the earth. And we don't know the 3 days and nights, what was going on in all that, except to know the judgment of God was being satisfied.
Yeah.
And when it was, oh, I said when it was. That's what we just got through reading about, is when the Father, and I wouldn't be surprised if the Father stood up. And he said, this is my Son.
Yeah.
Woo, woo, woo. Hell shook. I'm telling, when the reverberating voice of the Almighty God came from the throne room and it pierced through that place, I'm sure all the demons down there thought they were going to disintegrate in a moment. And it finally hit them what actually happened. They took their destruction into themselves. Though he were a son, he learned obedience by the things he suffered, and being made perfect, verse 9, he became the author of eternal salvation. Let me back up. Being made what?
Perfect.
Jesus himself learned. See, when he was born into the earth, he did not know the word. That's astounding. That the word made flesh had to learn the word. When he's 12, he had learned a lot, but he's still learning. That's why he's asking questions. Now, if you have to think about this, you have to think about it. But he learned. Is that what the scripture said?
Yes.
Not already knew all about it. He's operating as a man. If not, see, it wouldn't be fair for him to tell us to do something, and he did it as God. I'm not God. But if he did it as a human being with no unfair advantage over me, but he did it by his faith and by the Holy Spirit, and he would give me the same faith and the same Holy Spirit, then I can see the glorious possibilities that the works he did, we can do. And the victories he walked in, we can walk in. Being made perfect. So there was a perfection, there was a developing that was the outcome of his obedience and his suffering. He became the author of eternal salvation to who?
All
those who walk in his steps and what?
Obey.
Who trust. It'll happen the same way with you and I over a lifetime. We seek him, we're willing to follow him. He will call you out of your comfort zone. He will lead you into some places. Sometimes you'll think, how did I wind up here? And then there'll be some places he'll do with you to stay there and plant something and accomplish something. And you'll be like Brother Hagin, you know, if I didn't know the Lord told me to be here, I'd go get that U-Haul. But if you did, you'd miss God and you would interrupt your development. You would interrupt the perfection, the perfecting of your faith and of your being. And when the scripture talks about in Peter that if you have suffered in the flesh, you cease to live your life to the will of men. This is a 8-week seminar. Go back to Philippians, the second chapter. I'll see about winding up here. He said, Jesus, being in the form of God, verse 6, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, was made in the likeness of men, just like other human beings, one translation said, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore, God also has highly exalted him. We want to talk about the cross. We're doing it tonight. You don't want to try to live at the cross. Come on. That don't sound right to me. That's why I said it. Jesus is not on the cross tonight.
No, he's not.
The cross is done.
Yes.
Hmm? He said it is finished.
Yes.
Is that right?
Yes.
We want to learn more and more about what happened there. But just preaching about the suffering and then saying you're supposed to suffer is not the gospel. I said, that's not the gospel. Gospel's good news. And the good news is what the cross and his submission and his obedience accomplished for us, that when he did humble himself, when he became obedient to death. Now think about it. He's hanging on the cross. He's made sin with the sin of all mankind, of all generations and errors. And he's breathing his last. Man was not supposed to die, much less God. But he has received the commandment from the Father. And he loves the Father. And that the world may know that he loves the Father. Here he goes. He will obey. And he submitted to death. And breathed his last and said, okay, Father. Here's my spirit. And as he's going down, 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 the darkness, the sin, the judgment, but he is believing God. He is believing the Father. And he endured it for the joy that was set before him. And when those 3 days and nights, and I don't know everything that happened in that, or how, you know, time with God is different than we perceive it. But when judgment was satisfied, and the Father spoke, and that place was shaken and rattled, and chains fell off, and doors flew open, and Jesus said, give me them keys. Don't you remember Revelation? I got the keys. Death. Hell. The devil lost his keys. He can't find them. Jesus said, I got them. I got them. He was able to say, all authority and power in heaven and in earth is given to me. And the very next thing he says, so you go in my name, in that authority, in that power. Verse 9, wherefore God also has what? When he spoke, the word of God reverberated through the heavens into the earth. Into the heart of the earth. The Bible talks about three areas. Beings in heaven. Beings on the earth. Beings under the earth. They're there right now tonight. But when that word pierced through the heavens, the sky, the earth, the surface, and the heart of the whole thing, they were totally defeated. They were stripped and brought to naught. And the power of God lifted the master. And up he comes. Oh, somebody say glory to God. He humbled himself. He obeyed all the way. What comes next? Come on, what comes next? Exaltation. Exaltation and raising. He lifted him up. Up he comes. Here he comes into the tomb. Here he slips back into his body in the glory of God. Just change. And the angels of God are standing outside the tomb. Woo! And that's not all. That's not all. He gave him a name. Jesus didn't give this name to himself. This name has come because of conquest. Woo! And it is a name above every and every means every. Yes, sir. There is no name anywhere on earth, under the earth, in the entire universe that is the equal of this name. It is above every name. Now let's pause just a moment. How did he get to this? Submission. Humbling himself. Right? What enabled him to do that? Faith. His trust in the Father. Is he your example?
Yes.
Is he my example?
Yes.
God has highly exalted him, given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus. Oh, the demons are still gnashing their teeth over this. See, they thought they won. They thought they did. They should have known better. Every knee should bow of things in heaven, things in earth, things under the earth. There's coming a day. Every evil spirit, every demon, the devil, Satan himself, they will have no choice. It'll be like gravity slamming them down. Because they don't want to bow. But they're going to bow. They're going to, knees will slam the ground. And every blasphemer, curser of God, denier of God in any duration, slam, they will hit their knees. But there will be a group over here, robed in white. Robed in white. Washed by the blood of the Lamb. Hallelujah. And they will be called the redeemed of the Lord. And they can sing the song of the redeemed. And they will be in the presence of Almighty God forever and ever. Why? Because they bowed their knee here. Now, voluntarily, they submitted themselves, humbled themselves, submitted themselves here in this ugly, cursed world. In the midst of all these blasphemers and deniers, we didn't care what they think. Or who knows? I'm a believer. And the name of Jesus is on me and in me. I am His. He is mine. His banner over me is eternal love. Oh, I preach myself happy. I preach myself happy. Woo, stand up. Stand up. Lift your hands. Give God glory.
This ministry has been brought to you today, free of charge, by the partners of More Life Ministries and Faith Life Church. If you would like to help send this word to others at no charge, you can become a word sender today. For more information, visit our website at morelife.org.